Glory to Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This morning we hear, or I will comment in about three different ways on what we've heard in the readings this morning. The first was from St. Paul. I'll say a little about that. The second was from the Gospel of St. Luke. And then I'm going to read us something from the prayers of the Divine Liturgy or from the service for St. John of Kronstadt, whose Divine Liturgy we celebrated as an evening liturgy on Friday night. St. Paul tells us something quite remarkable. He tells us that we are the temple of God. Now, the temple of God, we find out when we get to the Gospel of St. Luke, has been inhabited by demons. The Lord wants to clear out those demons and restore us to the temple that we are. He calls us to action. We must remove ourselves from company with evil and impure things. When we do this, He will make us once again His people, and He will be our God. Now, when we look at that, you know, and hear of this demonic possession of the man, and how, at the end of the story, it seems that what we find out from the people around there is that they were much more comfortable with the demons than they were with God. And I think that if we are to look at ourselves and to understand that if I am not full of the Spirit of God, then I am full of some other spirit. So where we kind of approach things very often from the other kind of thinking, if I'm not full of the spirit of demons per se, I mean, particularly in a way that I know something truly evil is there, we make the assumption, then I must, right, be full of the Spirit of God. But the demons come to us in many kinds of ways. Only to the really holy, in most cases, do they show up as truly demonic forces, fearful, to be afraid of, possessing us in ways that make us look insane. Most of the time, they will simply come to us in the kinds of ways, in the spirit of the world, that gently leads us in a direction that is not toward God. And while that may not look so horrifying as when we hear of or see of encounters that human beings have of demon possession, it may be worse because we can't even see it. So we see from St. Luke that the demoniac could not speak for himself. His possession by the demons meant that they were running the show. He could not do what he needed to do. He could not avoid the evil. He could not seek the good because the demons had so thoroughly possessed him. Nonetheless, and even more so, God's ancient promise to us remains that He will be our God and we will be His people. He will do it all, and so He does. After He restores the demoniac to his right mind, the man is able to act normally and naturally for the first time in a long time. And what does he do? He sits at Jesus' feet in his right mind. So we might say that the right-minded person wants nothing more than to sit at Jesus' feet. And we heard just a couple weeks ago in the sermon, the remarks were about that. We had the Martha and Mary story brought to mind. And we saw how Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And this was the one thing needed that Jesus pointed out to Martha. The one thing needed. So what happens? What happens for us when we find ourselves truly wanting that one thing needed? When we find ourselves recognizing that anything that is not godly is ungodly. When we find ourselves truly desiring to know these things and to sit at Jesus' feet, what happens to us? Well, eventually, should we be so fortunate as to be able to see with some clarity and to do and put in our kind of effort, that 100% on our part that can cooperate with God's infinite percent on His part. When we do those things, we become saints. And so our church is full of them. And our lives, if we are Orthodox Christians, ought to be full of them too. They should be our best friends. And one of the saints that we encounter
as one of our best friends is St. John of Kronstadt. And he's a fairly recent saint. He died already into the 20th century, so he's not all that long ago in our historic memory. So he was canonized, I don't know exactly when, but St. John Maximovich, who is up there, Bishop of Shanghai, Bishop of San Francisco, was one of the saints who wrote the services, who was in charge of putting together the things for the canonization of John of Kronstadt. For those of you who are trying to see where, this right there, the medallion right there, St. John of San Francisco. And when we hear, when I heard these words, I said, I have to include those on Sunday, because it's truly a magnificent depiction of what a transformed soul, what a soul restored to sanity and health looks like. And so here are the words that are prayed with an ending that asks that we be like him, that are prayed in memory of and at the commemoration of St. John of Kronstadt. Thou didst believe in truth and righteousness with thy whole heart, O priest of God, and with thy lips thou didst confess unto salvation. The Lord is my life and being. The Lord is my deliverance from eternal death. The Lord is mine everlasting life. The Lord is my purification, deliverance, and sanctification. The Lord is my strength in weakness, breath in my straitness, light in darkness, peace in my disturbance. Glory be to thee, my Savior, almighty power. Glory be to thee, O Savior, omnipotent present power. Glory be to thee, most compassionate Father. Glory be to thee, power ever open to my prayers. Glory be to thee, brightest eye, ever looking upon me and seeing all my hidden secrets. Therefore, O holy John, following in thy footsteps, we also cry to the Lord, glory be to thee, our God. Wondrous art thou in thy saints. Wondrous art thou in their teachings. Glory be to thee. It doesn't take very hard thinking to see what a glory giver and what a depender on God St. John of Kronstadt was. And when we see him held before our eyes as an example, we can only pray that the demons that dwell in us, that would tell us even at this moment that these things don't apply to us. And it sounds sometimes that those demons speak with our own voice, that we don't even see that whether it be simply that negativity that the world would bring us, that somehow all we are made for is the struggle and nothing else. When the church says that, oh yes, the struggle is there, the penance will be necessary, the warring with our own, what can seem like our inner selves, but will really be those demons of this world, all of that is absolutely going to be part of it. But not so that we can just be strugglers in this world, but so that we can become thanksgiving and glory-giving beings as God made us to be. Let us pray for the inspiration to chase out the demons where we can, because some of them are truly the weakest of demons. And for us, we are fortunate that we can, even by some work on our own part, chase them out, clean house a little bit. We can do that. But first, we have to believe that it's possible, and it is that demon of doubt that perhaps must be confronted first. So let us pray that the God who inspired Father John of Kronstadt to such heights, to where simply people writing to him, asking for his prayers on behalf of their sickness and disease, were healed. He was truly a wonder worker in Russia when he was living, in the sense that even just by a prayer sent in a letter, he was able to accomplish great things. Let us pray that same God will also inspire us to be called to seek after and accomplish great things also. Amen.